Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
I'm with you, my love. The light shining through on you. Yes, I'm with you, my love.
It's the final hour of the week here on the Hardline, powered by Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, John Hadley with you. 855-282-8255 on the Ryan Kelly phone line. 855-282-TALK. The Cardinal lineup is out for tonight as they get the second half started in Pittsburgh against the Buccos. Matt Carpenter at first base. Tommy Pham in left
catcher
field. Dexter Fowler in center hitting third. Jed Jerko at third base batting fourth. I like that top four. I really like it. I put Pham in center, but I like the positioning of it. Molina, fifth. Piscotty in right field batting sixth. Your Wonger has returned.
Oh, thank God.
The Wong is in the seven hole playing second base.
Interesting.
Paul DeJong, who is on fire, is hitting eighth playing short. And Mike Leake, the Cardinals ERA leader at the break, will pitch tonight and bat ninth. I like that
lineup.
I really do. I like it. Given what they have right now, that's pretty much
about
right.
Is that a fair assessment?
I think
like that lineup, John?
If Colton Wong starts going like he was and DeJong keeps going, I would move them up and move Yachty down. But right now, I like this.
I think the operative phrase for me would be based on what they have.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Based on what they have, I think that's a very fair assessment.
I hear you.
I just wish they had more.
I know.
Yeah, don't we all? Also, Colton Wong, of course, he mentioned in that lineup, activated from the DL. Kevin Segrist is back as well. Randall Grichuk placed on the DL today with lower back issues. Jose Martinez coming up from Memphis to replace him as the Cardinals begin this critical, season-defining, maybe franchise-defining 10-game road trip tonight in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. We were suggesting trade options. You mentioned Gerrit Cole. John, the text line said the Cardinals will not trade within the division. This discussion is giving me a tumor. I don't know about that, but probably right. I mean, division trades probably unlikely. But look, if the Cardinals blew the Pirates away with an offer for Gerrit Cole, they'd probably do it. But they would have to blow them away. And I wouldn't be opposed to the Cardinals getting an elite line starting pitcher. That would be great, sure. But is that really what this team needs with the pitching depth that they have in the minor leagues? I guess you can never have too much pitching, right, TJ? You can never have enough pitching.
Especially when you're going to maybe lose three of your starting pitchers next year.
Well, I don't think – look, they're not going to lose three. I mean, Wainwright will
be. You may not have three worthwhile.
Yeah, you may not have three worthwhile that you have right now. That's true. That is very fair.
Right now, though –
pause.
Brought to you by?
Holy mackerel.
Smoothie King.
I'll say it for you,
took
TJ.
A long time good for Lord. You to catch up on that one.
Never going to see that money.
Stop playing this game because this is taking some time, for God's sakes. But, no, I'm just – well, do you want to talk anything else about baseball now?
You're confused, America.
You had a stat that I thought was interesting that I wanted you to bring up about baseball.
All right, can we get to that one at the end when we're talking – what time is it?
It is 5:08.
Yeah, we can talk about that a little bit later.
All right, so what do you want to talk about, John?
No, because there's just one thing I find very interesting, and I'm seeing here that Ezekiel Elliott is responding to the NFL. The NFL, it's not like baseball, for God's sakes, where you have 162 games. You wind up missing four games. That's pretty significant. But the only time that you're not overly worried about it is when Tom Brady is involved.
You said responding. Can you expand on that?
Yeah. Well, apparently, yeah. One second. Has received a report from the NFL on its findings from an investigation into 2016 domestic violence accusation against him. Elliott's preparing a response for the league. Sources said Elliott's response is expected to be submitted sometime over the next week.
So tell me what you're upset about.
No, I'm not upset. I'm just saying, I'll be curious if this leads to suspension or anything.
So if
it does, the length of the suspension. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, actually, no. We just got a call. The big talking Texan says.
Oh boy.
People got to start waking you up when you start your takes because he's tired of hearing dead air.
Oh, there you go.
Snap.
snap from the boss himself, that's John Hadley.
Tuppet fair. Tuppet fair.
Please put me out of my misery.
Ah, working with us
so
is anyhow, misery.
Are we miserable?
Misery.
Come on,
it's a
dude.
Joking response to the boss. Are you? What kind of sensitive sissies are you?
Well,
you're one of the biggest, baddest boys on the
you're
block.
Right.
And I can't joke with the boss and
just
you're not
asking.
Be offended?
I was just
let's
asking.
I need to go on a little five-second rant, and then we need to record it and play it every time Hadley gets offended about nothing. Because it happens
hold on.
Every day.
Hold on. Before you guys continue,
go ahead, Eric.
Breaking news. It is over. Jay Randolph Jr. wins 4-2.
Oh, wow.
The duel in the – what they call it? The duel in the desert? The duel in the sun, part two. Tim McKernan falls 4-2. Wow.
Timothy Michael.
So, congrats to Junior. So, TJ, just if somehow, some way this leads to a suspension early in the season, Dallas starts off with the Giants at Denver at the Cardinals.
Can we, before we get there, okay, or we can dig in it after. I do want to talk a little bit about the suspension and
please,
why.
Go ahead.
Well, somebody's lying or else the NFL's out of their mind. It's one of those two things because when he came out this domestic violence deal, he said he had text messages from his ex-girlfriend saying she would do exactly this even though it wasn't true. He's like, I got the text. It doesn't matter. And now if he's still going to be suspended, either the NFL is out of their mind or he was flat lying. It's one of the two. If he's flat lying, then we all got to dig a little bit deeper.
Well, yeah,
and I
don't know either way. I'm just curious with regards to the fact that it's reached this point. He's now responding. What if happens?
If I were him, I would go the Tom Brady route, and I would fight at this in court and saying, I have evidence right here saying she was going to do exactly this before it ever happened, even though it wasn't true, and you're suspending me anyway. That's called a bad employer, as we all know the NFL can be at times. So I just wanted to dig into that a little bit because I think that is fascinating. I thought this was done and over with because when it first came out, it sort of went away, and
right.
They continued to investigate. There's either something to this or the NFL needs to be fought here because they've been on a witch hunt before, and to continue to do this to guys who, at least if what he's saying is true, have evidence saying you don't just get to throw your weight around just because anybody uses the words domestic violence doesn't mean we all deserve a suspension. You have to dig a little deeper and figure out what's there. So I'm interested to see how this plays out now.
And it says here, according to the league's personal conduct policy, a player can be punished in the NFL even if he does not face legal punishment, as you know. A first-time violation of the policy carries a 6-game suspension, but it also allows for a lesser penalty if mitigating factors are involved.
What a bunch of crap. Like, 6 games minimum to appease everybody, because this is the Ray Rice rule. 6 games, because we gave you 2. 6 games minimum, unless we decide otherwise. Sorry. The NFL is just a CYA all over the place.
We talk about what the players need to do, and we mentioned the other day fighting for guaranteed contracts. This, to me, would be just as important to them. This would be like 1B. They need to fight to change the justice system. Like, Roger Goodell should not have, the league should not have this much power. There needs to be an independent panel deciding these things, or cut-and-dry punishments that are clearly laid out.
The problem is, as we know, even when they bring in these private investigators or whatever, they're all employed by the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. It has to be independent. It has to be totally independent.
Yeah, I know. You're right. It has to be agreed upon by both, and it's going to have to be to some degree, because if you're employed by the NFL and the NFL gets to decide when you can come in and when you can come out.
There should be – they should fight. They should fight for – maybe like a 3-judge panel or 3-person panel, one appointed by the league, one appointed by the Players Association.
Like Ted Wells.
And then a totally independent arbiter that salary is paid half by the league, half by the players, and let them decide. And the NFL's not going to give that up without a fight. The players would have to strike for that.
Let me embellish, TJ, for your further notification. ESPN's Adam Schefter is saying that although the investigation is still ongoing, Ezekiel Elliott is bracing for a short suspension stemming from this domestic violence incident.
I want things to come out because this frustrates me. This is similar to what I brought up with Jason Whitlock yesterday, that as writers start to phase out, we're obviously not there. Writers are the ones that keep everybody accountable. I don't think people on TV prep for their show every day.
We hold people accountable on this program.
Yeah, outside of us, writers are the ones that dig and dig and dig and dig and dig, and then they come out with an article that holds everybody accountable. The media, while I think they have too much power now, they've almost become the fourth branch of the government. They have held people accountable for years. You need writers to dig into all of this. Because what you can run into is Ezekiel Elliott getting thrown around just because. He's like, it's only 1 game. Let's just suck it up. I don't want to deal with this. That is not justice. And you can't allow that. Now, because even accepting that would be short-sighted, allowing that to continue on until somebody finally stands up and fights it. Because while it's only one game, if you don't deserve any games, the NFL doesn't just get to throw their weight around just because they're the NFL.
But they do, and they do because the players agreed to it. And that's the point. Is it, are these things were collectively bargaining, and the players rolled over like dogs and let Roger Goodell do what he wanted to do. And the only way to stop that is to strike and say, we're just not going to accept this anymore. We're not going to let the NFL pretend it's a police force and be the judge, jury, and executioner for all player discipline.
Getting back to my original point, though.
Yeah. Sorry, I wanted to dive into that a little
bit.
I
understand 100%. I wonder what the NFL – would the NFL allow you to throw up and in?
Excuse me? Oh, I see what you're saying. Baseball, yeah.
But getting back to the point, if he is suspended – I mean, again, in the NFL, a handful of games can change the season.
Oh, yeah.
If Elliott's not playing in the season opener against the Giants, or they're on the road the next two weeks against Denver and Arizona, without Elliott, that changes the dynamic of that team. So in addition to – having our very own questions about the entire process, this is something that really can change a season.
That's if you believe the Cowboys are going to be anywhere near what they were last year in the first place.
I think that's a fair discussion that we'll have soon. That's a fair discussion we'll have soon. But there's no denying, even if you think they're going to come back to the pack, they become back to the pack that much further without a guy like Elliott for any length of time.
You're 100% right. He's dynamic. You're saving grace is that, as we've talked about, this is probably the best offensive line that we've seen in 20 years in the NFL. So you have anybody can run. I mean, DeMarco Murray, pretty good. He's nowhere near the talent of Ezekiel Elliott. He led the NFL in rushing 3 years ago. And then he has been average and average again in his next two teams in Philadelphia and Tennessee. So
they do have two guys that I don't know that I would bank on a lot, but have in the past at least showing capabilities of being factors in Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris.
McFadden has been very good. I mean, he was in certain games, he was the workhorse in Oakland.
Really good.
Now, here's what the thing, too. The Giants may just run away with this. I think they may run away with the division.
Yeah.
So, and the Redskins are, I mean, it's a pretty good division. Really is.
It is.
You're right. They have to go to the Broncos, and that's against a really good defense, probably an average offense again. Could get a win there. Cardinals are not going to be nearly as bad as they were last year.
Oh, and a good defense again.
Mm-hmm. And the Rams could be vastly improved if Jared Goff is even. I mean, they really could. They could be vastly improved based on, one, just refreshing everything, having new leadership out there. And if Jared Goff can play higher than a high school level, they can win some games.
TJ, we don't say anything good about the Rams. We say anything bad about Jose Martinez. And those are the two rules of this program.
Thank you.
Let's lay that out so everybody knows.
Remind me about Laterra.
Oh. Hey. He's gone but not forgotten.
He hates you.
Laterra?
Mm-hmm. You told me.
Yeah, here's the thing about the Cowboys, too.
Tell him it's reciprocal.
I don't hate him. I have nothing personal against him. He was just stealing the Blues' money. Anyway.
Here's the thing about...
He should have his green card taken away.
Oh, here we go. Go ahead, TJ.
For embezzlement.
Oh, stop with that. Go ahead, TJ.
The Cowboys have to play. If you guys understand how the NFL scheduling works, when they match you up with another division, you're playing a first-place schedule. They match you up with the first place of the other, like,
two divisions.
Yes,
you play four. The division teams play 14 of their 16 games are totally the same. The only two that are different are based on where you finish in the state.
Yeah, so they're playing a much more difficult schedule this year because they're playing all the teams that were good last year in those two games. So it's not going to be so easy to start. I mean, I'm looking at their schedule now. Obviously, they have to play their division, which is not easy. And then you go through and team by team. I mean, the NFL, as a general rule anyway, I mean, they got to play the Seahawks this year.
But you got to remember, TJ, one thing about the NFL is we don't know anything. Every year, what is it, six of the teams are new playoff teams. And every year, like half the divisions are won by a team different the year
What's
before.
The one thing we so, know, TJ?
The one thing we know is we know nothing.
What's the one thing we know?
Jacksonville wins the Super
Bowl.
This
show is sponsored by Smoothie King, I think. That's the only thing we know.
What's the one thing we know in the NFL?
The one thing we know about the NFL is that the Patriots are going to be there every single year.
There you go.
That is 100%
true.
That is the one unchanging thing. Now, here's what you do know, too. The Raiders are going to be there this year, and they got to play them on December 17th. The Seahawks are going to be there this year. They got to play them December 24th. They've got to play
the Jags.
The Giants
are going to be there this year.
They got to play the Giants twice, obviously, in their division. They may win the division. The Redskins could be good again this year. Now, I know they lost the receivers, but they could be very good. You go through their schedule. They might not win 10. They're certainly not going to win 13.
Cowboys? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, their defense, too. They lost pretty much
their
entire
secondary. Their
back
four is so bad.
They didn't have a great pass rush last year. Weezer says, he's bone to pick with you, TJ. I would hardly call 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns average by Murray in Tennessee. He's been all right for them.
Yeah, he was.
He just wasn't the dominant guy he was in Dallas.
Yes. I understand what you're saying. He is not what he, like, you were looking at him like a guy that, and it obviously didn't happen, but you were looking at him when he was running behind the Dallas Cowboys, and he was one of the most dominant backs in the league. That went away very quickly when he left. That is the point. Yes. Yeah. He was
not Adrian Peterson.
He was not good when he was with the Eagles, and then they released him the next year.
855-282-8255 is the text line. 855-282-TALK. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, John Hadley with you here on the Hardline, powered by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. You know, guys, we are in sports radio, which means we are obligated to do predictions. So, will the Cardinals win the division? Who will win the NL Central?
Alan Bennis,
let us know what you think. 855-282-8255. We'll even take a call if you have predictions on the Cardinals.
Only one.
One call, the first person to call in. So who wins the NL Central? TJ Moe.
I'm going to go with the Brewers. I think the Cubs aren't. I told you, I don't think one pitcher changes everything for you. Even if he wins every single game here on out, that's not too many wins for you. It's 20% of your games. If you keep playing the way they've playing and they don't come around on what Cam calls their victory lap, their victory
They're
tour.
Still hungover, man.
Still celebrating.
They are.
I don't think they come. And I don't think the Cardinals, and I reserve the right to change my prediction based on acquisitions by the Cardinals. But based on these teams today, the Brewers are going to win.
So if the Cardinals get Stanton and Donaldson, then you might change your mind.
Yeah, and if they go get Cole, you know, and then they get Sale maybe somehow.
Mike Trout.
And then maybe.
Who finishes second?
Mike Trout, Bryce Harper. I think the Cubs are second place. I think Cardinals could win it based on an acquisition. Otherwise, they're going to be in third.
So you think Brewers, Cubs, Cardinals, but close. You think all three teams are close?
I think Cubs, Cardinals are neck and neck for second place, but it could be 5 or 6 games back at the end of the year.
What do you think,
Cam? It could feasibly finish exactly how the standings are right now.
I would think the Brewers, but I'm going to go with the Cubs, man. I do, and like I said with the hangover, they still have the tools to do this. They just have to get over this little hump, and I think maybe this break can do that. Maybe this trade could do that. Maybe a meeting can do it. I don't know, but I do think that they have the raw talent, and obviously they did it last year, that they could make some things happen right now. And I do think they're going to turn it around with this break. And they kind of got humiliated with the All-Star game and all that stuff, not having anybody on their roster last year, their winning roster, being on the All-Star game. I think they kind of got humiliated. Good
you
Lord.
You got it. You
Whatever.
You're mocking me?
Yeah, kind of. You're wearing off on me more than anything. But I do think the Cubs
wearing
are
off.
Yeah. Jesus, TJ, enough. Look, I think the Cubs are going to come back and do some damage here and win the division.
You think so?
I think so,
even
man.
Even with the pitching the way it is?
I do. Because
they got Quintana.
Yeah.
But Arrieta, not been good.
Not
Lester,
been good.
Recently, but, even,
but can,
been very bad.
But can be good. And
I'll break the tie. Yeah. I agree with Cam. I think the Brewers are.
I think they're over their hangover,
I think
man.
They're a little. I think the Brewers are a little bit over their head, but they're very good. And I read through their pitching the other day. It's actually, and Jimmy Anderson's coming back. Their pitching's good.
Was it the 10-run first inning in their last game before the All-Star break that let
you
know?
You need TJ. We've talked about this. You need to get your ass beat. You need to be embarrassed.
I know.
To get ripped in the media. And all of a sudden, you have to have that meeting. You get a couple guys, and boom, you're rocking and rolling again.
They have so many guys.
But that did nothing did it for you. It's like the Washington Generals.
I just can't believe that all of these guys are going to underachieve. It's not just the pitching.
That's they're not.
It's
Bryant, gonna turn around, man.
By his standards, having a bad year.
Are they all
Rizzo
hurt?
Is down. Russell's way down.
They're
Baez
still
is not in a great offensive.
Celebrating
Kyle
their victory.
Kyle Schwarber
they
got sent
are.
To AAA. I think at least some of these guys
they're gonna start
will
around.
Play
yeah,
better
man.
In the second half, and
Eric.
I think that's enough because I think the Cubs still have the most.
Eric, thank
let
you.
Me make it easier for you.
Yes.
There's not one legit player that's a factor for the Cubs. That's playing up to their potential at this point.
Well, that's kind of our
point,
too.
And you're still right there.
Yeah.
You don't have to run
yeah.
down. Exactly. You don't have to pick a few. None of them are.
Yeah.
This team has so much talent. Forget
imagine
about
if just
it.
A couple.
I hope TJ's right. I really do hope TJ's right. I can't imagine the Cubs having any
no
problem.
Way.
No, Cubs will run away with this thing. They play 7 games in September
you said
against
that.
Milwaukee.
What's our stake? What's our stake bet on? You said they're going to run away with it. How much are they going to win it by?
I said 5 or more games.
Okay, so that's our stake bet?
We have a stake bet on that, too?
Well, yesterday, mm-hmm. I think we do.
Oh, boy.
We have it on Mizzou finishing
at the
ahead of Kentucky.
Corral.
We have it on, you said they're going to 5 or more, so over 4.5 games. with the Cubs, and we have it on the Jaguars winning the AFC title.
You guys got a lot of bets. We need someone just to
put some weight on.
So I think that I think they run away with it. The thing that will be most intriguing to me is how Milwaukee finishes.
What's the win total for them, though, if they run away from it? Sorry to interrupt.
The Cubbies?
Yeah.
I'll have to calculate that at the break.
Okay.
What will intrigue me, though, is how Milwaukee finishes down the stretch. One of the problems they're going to have, they have to play the Cubbies 7 times in September, all at Wrigley.
Really?
Yeah. No, I decided I was going to wake up and lie to you about
that.
Well,
I never know for
but
you.
The fact of the matter is, though, truly, I am as intrigued with the Brewers as both of you are, but not just in this incident or this instance, long term. I mean, this is a team that should only be getting better.
Yeah.
They have additional prospects coming up over the next couple of years.
They're such an interesting team because the plan for them obviously was not to contend quite this year, and now the plan's changed a little bit because obviously they're leading the division by 5.5 games. So do you move up the plan, and do you all of a sudden now become a buyer? I think they probably will. I mean, I think they
absolutely
probably will make a deal because things have changed. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know for sure that the Brewers are going to make a deal. I don't know that the Cardinals are going to make a deal. I know the Cubs already have. And so you have to say
Cubs
as of now.
Cubs are still trying to.
And the Cubs, right, and the Cubs may not be done. I mean, then maybe they find a way to get another starter.
Theo can make a deal, can he?
Yeah.
If there's one thing he has proven in his life, that dude can make a deal.
Well, when you stink for 5 years and you load up on prospects and draft well, you have a lot of people to trade from.
He gets his guys, man.
And, again, the Cubby pitching they've had their issues. But the offense, to me, is equal, if not more, perplexing. I mean, 399 runs up to this
they
point.
They can come back on that, though. The reason I said what I said was because you look at, and Eric's pointed this out, the pitching has not only been bad, the power pitching's gone, too. They're all dropping in miles per hour. Like, the velocity's not there. So when you lose all of that, even if your hitting comes around, you're still losing.
I'm not debating the legitimacy of the point at all. I'm just saying you combine the two, and it's just, I mean, it's a team that completely is underachieved, and yet they're right there in striking distance with a young organization that is starting to reap some of the benefits of drafts and trades like the Brewers. I mean, these guys collectively haven't been through the wars. The Brewers are sort of where the Cubs were 2 years ago.
Right. Surprise ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they won, what was it, 97 games and finished third. So we all agree then the Cardinals will not win the division and not make the playoffs then, right?
Because if they do add a piece, I actually change.
I will
change it to the Cardinals. If they add a piece that we think if they add Donaldson, the Cardinals win. If they add Stanton, the Cardinals win.
Wow. The Cardinals are 6 games behind Colorado in the wild card race. Any chance they win the wild card if they don't win the division?
No, hell no.
I don't think so either. Probably. Although I think Colorado's already started to come back. They have really, really young, unproven pitching. And so if any team's going to fall, I think it's going to be that.
Even so, somebody else, the thing about the wild card is somebody else takes over
right.
the spot.
Miami, like, Atlanta.
Winning your division is going to be easier because Cubs and Brewers aren't doing much.
Right, right. This, by the way, if they fail to make it to the playoffs, this will be just the second time this century the Cardinals had consecutive seasons without a playoff spot.
What was the other years?
That would have been 07, 08.
And they've only missed it how many times total, John, since 2000?
Since
2000, right?
2000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
5 times since 2000, yeah. It's an incredible run they've been. I was thinking about this today. Like, so if this is your down period, think about that. You won 86 games and missed the playoffs by a game, and let's say this year they win, I don't know, 83 or 84, and you're in the hunt probably most of the year. If those are your down years, you're doing something right. You're running a pretty successful organization. Now, again, that doesn't mean fans shouldn't have higher expectations. That doesn't mean we can't criticize them. I've been saying for a long time they need to push it. They need to change a little bit. They need to go all in for some of these things. But that's a remarkable run.
The really good coaches that you talk to, that is their calling card. That's what they'll tell you. We compete every single year. We don't win it every year.
Right.
But we are in it every single year. And that is how we sustain. And now as a manager, as a coach, that's the only way you keep your job. Because if you're out for 2 straight years, everybody's talking about you being on the hot seat.
No doubt, dude.
That's a good point.
The Cardinals have only had one losing season this entire century.
That's incredible. What a remarkable run of success.
07.
You talk about people being spoiled, and that's unbelievable. Because in the short term, luck and plays such a huge part in the outcome of these things. Injuries and who's playing well, and do the Cubs have historically great pitching? And but over the long haul, that's when you judge it. Because anybody can be good in a short term, and anybody can be bad in a short term. But over 5, 6, 8, 10 years, the run that this team has had,
what would you rather have,
though? It ain't luck.
In 10, 15 years, would you rather have 2 or 3 World Series, Stanley Cups, and be just mediocre or brutal for the rest of the years?
Florida Marlins fans can tell you that.
Yeah.
Or the other alternative, Cam, you're saying would be to never win it.
Never win it, but contend. Like the Blues,
this
contend,
one's easy. Do you
contend.
Want to be the Marlins or the Dodgers?
That's what I'm saying.
I'd rather be the Dodgers.
See, I honestly, I'll go back to the one saying I don't know. I understand where Cam's coming from. I understand where you're coming from.
And it depends if you won already,
that's
too.
The answer. That's the I think if you've never won already, you would rather be the Marlins.
As a Blues fan, if you ask them that question, everybody's like, we want to win. I'll be
But if you've
crap.
Already won, I would rather contend every year.
Contend,
then I'm
contend.
Interested
yes.
every year.
No doubt.
Because the Marlins have been so awful.
Yeah.
That for both those World Series rings, if you're a true Marlins fan, for both those World Series rings, you've been through some pain.
You know, think about where the Dodgers are at, though. Over the years, they've had Greinke. They've got Clayton Kershaw, arguably the best pitcher in all of baseball. They have star power. They're in L.A., and they're contenders every single year, and it sort of falls apart. But, man, what a ride every year. The Blues don't necessarily take you for a ride. They have a few
they
times.
They frustrate you to hell.
Yeah. But
They inch their way, and they frustrate.
Yeah, think about it. If they went second, third round every year, and you were right there, and then you went to the Cup and lost it, that's a little
bit
different
story. It's great during a regular season for the most part. Don't get me wrong. But once playoff comes, you're just sitting in the – because you know.
So the Dodgers don't do that, though. I think that's the difference between the Blues. Like, the Dodgers, every year, you're like, gosh, maybe. And the Blues, after the first round,
you're
usually
kind of
out.
You're like, yeah, they can. And then all of a sudden you see a playoff series, like, wow, we just squeaked by that series. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the next, and you're like, okay, these guys mean business. Yep. And you're just disappointed.
It is the Hardline, powered by Johnny Landoff Chevrolet here on 590 The Fan. TJ, let's talk about the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly.
Anytime you want. What do you want to know about
Tell
him?
People what
he's the man.
What did he do for you?
Ryan, he just made buying a house just about the easiest thing you could ever do. I mean, it was like passing third grade math, Eric. I know you struggle with it, but the rest of us breeze right through it. Piece of cake. Everybody's there to help you. You sign a couple pieces of paper. You're done. That's it, Eric.
So he could even explain, like, launch angle to Hadley.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, not to Hadley, but to anybody else in the St. Louis region.
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, Ryan Kelly made getting a loan similar to how John explained the last thing. Like, just swing up.
Just
it's that
up.
Easy.
Here, I'll just write this out for you. Yeah. Simple.
You just swing up. You just sign your name right there.
Makes
That's
it very simple. Mm-hmm. Very
so
easy.
If you need a home like TJ did, or if you already have a home but you've got credit card debt and need to pay it off, which a lot of people do, you need to call Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team. They work hard, TJ, so that you don't have to. And if you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go to anyone else?
I wouldn't. I didn't. You shouldn't.
Call Ryan 314-781-9700 or visit him online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Along with Cam Jansen, TJ Moe, and John Hadley, I'm Eric Messersmith, and this is The Hardline, powered by Johnny Landoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.